Good morning. I want to take a few minutes before we go into the sermon to thank you for hosting us. For the last 5 weeks, Godfrey and I have been here and we felt loved. We feel like we found new friends. So thank you so much. Don't worry about what happens today. Don't worry, but I really feel like this has been a very good experience for us. And Taos has been a good place for us, especially for our young family. Of course, I still laugh at the different cultures. I always compare the Ugandan or African culture to the American culture, and I still laugh. If you know Uganda or Africa, we are very tribalistic. So if the person meets you for the first time, they will want to know whose son you are or whose child you are. So they will ask you about your father and your tribe. But in the US, when we came here, everyone was asking me where I work, which was a little bit different. Where do you work? I always felt like, does like home mom count? So I've decided that maybe if I meet someone new, I should present them with my work ID and my bank statement and my credit score so that they can choose whether they want to be my friends or not. So before the Reverend thinks I don't have a message, let's go back to if I decide to take over. So we are reading from John 12, from verse 1 to 8. Mary anoints Jesus at Bethany. Six days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." We could go so many different directions with this passage, but of course, this is the US and I don't have a lot of time to do the sermon. That makes me miss Africa, because if they gave me less than 3 hours, they would apologize. They would tell me how deeply they are sorry that the sermon is just less than 3 hours. But I have two main points for the sermon, and then a conclusion. So I don't think this is going to, I know Americans have places to go and things to do. So when I read the story, I couldn't take my eyes off Mary. We can talk about Martha, we can talk about Lazarus, we can talk about the poor and what Jesus meant by saying the poor are always with us. I can talk about the people who are attending the dinner. But as an individual, I wanted to know why Mary decided in front of everybody to offer the best of anything that she had. So if you can go with me, let's focus on Mary for a minute. Let's leave the other parts, not that they are not important. Why would Mary offer to Jesus an ointment that would cost a year's salary. I mean, if I told Godfrey that I don't know how much you earn per year, if you earn, for example, 500,000, 600,000, which I really think that's obscene money, but if you, or whatever your year's salary is, imagine if you came home and said, oh, I took my year's salary and I used it to buy this expensive perfume. You must have a good reason for doing that, really. And then how, let's say you're keeping it for something very special. So look at it, then Mary spends the whole of her year's salary in one evening just pouring it on Jesus' feet. I can join Judas and say, this is a big time waste. If you spent your year's salary for the perfume, let's see how well you use the perfume, maybe to produce 3 years of salary worth, but not to just pour it on Jesus' feet in one sitting. I think that's bad economics. That's a very bad deal. But she must have good reasons for doing that. So what are the reasons that would cause her to do that? And I think you can say, oh, it's obvious. Jesus raised Lazarus, who is the brother, that is unheard of, it's a miracle. And I agree with that. Jesus comes to their home, Lazarus is dead, and raises him. That's a big, it's a big miracle. And he can, and she's right to go and say, I offer everything for raising a brother. They were two sisters, and they just had a single brother. If it was the same, I know it is, the culture in the Jewish culture is the same as the African culture. If you don't have a brother, you worry for your inheritance. The family will come and take away everything you own. I was born in a family of four girls, but actually we were five. We had a brother who died at age five. But up to now, I can still remember my mother's devastation. She lost so much weight. I think she had tried to get as far as five kids because she was trying to get a boy because he would carry the name of the family. He would inherit my daddy's name and every property, and in that way save the property in the family so that's not taken away by relatives or people who just didn't care about us. But when my brother died, I thought my mom was going to die too because all her hope was in my brother. So it is authentic. It's good that Mary could come to Jesus and say, thank you for saving us, for raising our brother. Now as sisters, maybe we'll have something to live on. But I want to also look further than that. John does not bring up this point, but if you look at Matthew and Mark, they start the story of Jesus' anointing by saying that Jesus was being hosted at the home of Simon the leper. Do you remember that? So I want to follow that line. Who is this Simon the leper? Could it be that Simon the leper was the father of Mary and Martha? That, use your sanctified imagination. This is the only way you can, please. Don't say, oh, she preached something which is never in the Bible, heresy. And let's work with me here. But the Bible does not give us sometimes the details that would really help us a lot. If Simon the leper was a father of Mary and Martha, and you remember when Mary and Martha meet Jesus at the resurrection of Lazarus, they say, Jesus, if you were here, my brother would not have died. And they speak it with so much confidence, like they are sure that if Jesus was there, their brother would not have died. And I want to say that they say that because they have seen Jesus perform miracles in their home before. Could it be that he healed their father of leprosy? That's not far-fetched because we know of Jesus healing lepers before. So no wonder Mary comes and says, you did not just raise my brother from the dead, but you also healed my father from leprosy. That's deep for me. That helps me understand Mary's devotion. I don't know about leprosy here, but when leprosy came to Uganda or to Africa, we just didn't know what to do with people whose hands were falling off and toes falling off. I remember where I grew up, they would put them on an island. If you showed any signs of leprosy, there was no treatment, there was no medication. They just shipped them to a small island in the middle of the lake. It's called Lake Bunyonyi. And that same lake, that's where they would take all the girls who were found pregnant without outside wedlock or something. So it was kind of a punishment place. So if Simon was in our time, he could have been shipped to that island. But imagine if Jesus came and healed him. Why wouldn't Mary give everything she had? And if you look at, let's look at this family, Mary and Martha, we never hear of their husbands. We never hear of children. In the Jewish culture, which was common, if you look at even Mary, who, the mother of Jesus, they say maybe by the time Jesus came, she was between 12 and maybe 17 years old. Girls used to get married early. And if you read about Martha and Mary, they look like mature people. They're not kids. Who should be married? So how come Lazarus is not married, Mary's not married, Martha is not married? Could it be that there is leprosy in the family that keeps away people, and these kids are just busy taking care of their father? And maybe they can't get someone to marry them? And here comes Jesus. I keep thinking, oh, Jesus should have showed up when my brother died, but I will not take it personal. But if Jesus came into this home, who even knows? Do we know what Lazarus died of when he died? We don't know. I want to imagine that leprosy was in the family and it is a killer disease. So Mary comes in the picture. And thank God for Mary. I want to ask Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, why not you? Why were you not the first to run and offer this worship to Jesus? Why Mary? I think Mary as an individual is very sensitive to the things of God. We read about Jesus saying, you know what, Martha, you're busy serving, but Mary is seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to everything Jesus has to say. I think I am like Martha. If I am hosting a dinner, I want everybody to be comfortable. I'll be running around doing everything. But that seems not to minister to Jesus' needs. Jesus came to this house. John says it's 6 days before he's killed. Mark and Matthew, they say it's 2 days. So maybe he's looking for comfort. He wants maybe to look at Lazarus and say, look at what God can do even if I die. I will rise again, like God did it for Lazarus. He has needs, he's heartbroken, he doesn't know. And you can say, oh, this is Jesus, Superman. No, look at how he prayed before he was killed in the garden. It was a big burden, though he was the son of God. So he wanted to be close to his friends. He wanted to go to a place where people understand him, but also who can encourage him to remember the power of God. Excuse me. So Mary gives Jesus the best because Jesus gave that family the best in the first place. You can say, oh, thank God for Mary and their family. Their father maybe was healed of leprosy and Lazarus is back from the dead, and good for them. But I want us to take a minute. Really, I don't have testimonies of radical healings like that, but I have my personal testimonies of what God has done for me. It might be big for me or not big for you. It might be big for you. But we all have personal testimonies that would push us to love God more, to want to give God the best that we have, to, I mean, why are we not giving God everything that we have? Sometimes, especially in American culture, people work hard, which is a good thing. It's a good thing to work hard. The Bible says if you can't work, you should not eat. So I respect that. But sometimes we think we've worked hard and we deserve what we have. And therefore, so what is God? Why should God be in the picture? But we forget that it is even God who teaches us how to make wealth. That's why David prayed and said, God, do not give me riches, because I might, that's I think Proverbs 30, because I might forget you and say, who is God? But also don't give me poverty, because I might steal and bring shame to your name. So we all have things we can take to God and say, God, for being there for me, for loving me, for me still being alive, others are in cancer institutes, and let's give you, I can give you everything I have. So as we go out today, and this is also for me, I want to sit and remember the goodness of the Lord. And I want that to be my driving force that would bring me to deeper devotion to God. Thank you so much.